Aroha Tiatua, ki whakapaingia Tiatua. God is love. Praise be to God. So, therefore, let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Here's a question as I begin to ponder, or to cogitate, as Fraser says, which, what a great word, to cogitate. Here's the question: what are the most important things in life to us human beings? Or maybe even more personally, what is the most important thing to you in your life? You know, for many years, I have worked in schools and in school chaplaincy, visiting schools, speaking in assemblies and chapel services. And I wanted to encourage teenagers to cogitate, to ponder on that question that I began with. What is the most important thing to you in your life? To do this, to introduce this question, to help teenagers to ponder the question, I would ask for four volunteers who willingly would come out to the front. And these four volunteers would stand poised to answer the question. And then I'd encourage everyone else gathered in the hall of the chapel to imagine that they were aliens from another star system, and they were hovering over planet Earth, and they wanted to find out about what is important to people, to human beings on planet Earth. And what they'd done is they'd beamed up on board four representatives of the human race, our four volunteers. And these four, around the different schools that I go, they'd have to answer that question: what are the most important things to human beings? And each of them had to pinpoint, just in one sentence, the answer to that question. And then everyone else in the assembly or the chapel service would, we'd all vote on what we thought was the best answer. You know, as I went around and gave this talk in different places, often there were four main answers to the question, what's the most important thing to human beings? The first one was romance, falling in love, marriage, sex, you know, finding that person who's going to give you a happy and fulfilled life. That seemed to be a very important thing to a lot of young people. The second one, not surprisingly, was money, and loads of it. Riches, cars, houses, travel. Some believing that the accumulation of wealth, that was the number one priority, having money and lots of it. Some of these young people would say socializing, having fun, partying, going out drinking, dancing. That was a main priority. That was the most important thing in life, just being with friends, hanging out, and having loads of fun. And the last one that often was said was fame. Being famous, maybe, or following a famous sports star, musician, or sports team, or, you know, actually wanting to be famous. That fame was the most important thing in life to human beings. You know, differing answers to the one question, to what is most important. Of course, it opened up the opportunity for me to sort of say, well, what Christians believed what is the most important thing in life. And although I'd say that, you know, of course, you know, relationships, sex, marriage, socializing, money, you know, these are all important and good. But they can also leave us broken and hurt, and greed and bankruptcy. Relationships break up, or famous people can let us down. you know, Christians, what Christians believe about this stuff is that, well, there's so much more to life than just money, sex, socializing, power, or fame. In our reading today, Jesus was asked that question by some lawyers and scholars. He was asked to pinpoint what is the most important thing in life. His answer didn't have anything to do with money or status or sex or all possessions. This is how Jesus answered the question. He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Do you know, by answering in this way, Jesus was actually saying that it is possible to know God and to be loved by God. He was saying it's possible to have a personal and intimate relationship with the Creator, to experience a perfect love of a Father in heaven, to experience freedom and healing and forgiveness and mercy and other great things. And this, Jesus said, this is what is really, really matters most in life. I wonder how you would answer that question this morning as you're watching this. What is the most important thing in your life right now, today? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Is this the first and most important thing? Jesus added a second great commandment to this first one, which really is tops. He then followed it by saying, and the second greatest commandment is like it. It's similar. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, as we all know, the Bible has been in the news a lot this week. You know, Jesus' words in the Bible, it speaks so much about love. Some say it's like a love letter from the Creator to his children. And surprisingly, a lot of the words around love, and surprisingly, they're connected sometimes to clothing. It's a strange connection. For example, in the very beginning, in Genesis, we read how God made garments and clothed Adam and Eve. And this is even after they had blown it completely. The fall of the human race, they'd been kicked out of Eden. Yet God still loved them so much, and he made clothing for them. He said, it says he made garments and clothed them. Later in Genesis, we come across a young guy called Joseph, and he was so special to God, so loved by God, so used by God, and God arranged for him to have this amazing multicolored cloak, robe. Of course, it caused a bit of jealousy among people, but there it was, a special, special robe, cloak. And talking about cloaks, we've moved into Elijah, and he was given a cloak that symbolized the prophetic and powerful love of God. And then in Exodus, as you read through there, God chooses certain people out of Israel to become priests, and he clothes them. They're to wear special clothes back then in the Old Testament, multicolored woven garments, it says. And I suppose it was to sort of set them apart Let's jump to the New Testament, because the New Testament speaks a lot about how, you know, love and clothes are connected. Jesus himself taught us to clothe the naked, those in poverty. And later in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, well, he spoke about all sorts of clothing. Garments of salvation, robes of righteousness, the armor of God to protect us, the armor of light to help us to shine in this dark world. And then here, let's just get into our second reading from Colossians for today. Paul, in the reading, gives a wonderful picture of how God's love and spiritual clothing come together, that we're to put these things on and wear them every day. And in so doing, it will help us to fulfill that second great commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Listen to what Paul writes. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Isn't that special? If you're a child of God, a Christian, you are holy, made holy. You are dearly loved. Even if you're not a Christian, you're dearly loved by your Creator. And then he says, clothe yourselves, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. What a lovely thing. Don't we need gentlemen and gentlewomen? So nice. Patience. Don't we need to put on that one? Basically, Paul was writing to a group of Christians, and they were struggling, they were having a bit of conflict. So he wrote to these believers to say, look, put on and wear each day, well, the kingdom clothes that are, I suppose, designer clothes designed by Jesus himself. And how important it is to put these clothes on in the days that we're living in. Such dark days. So many people in trouble or worried or anxious. There's theft, there's racism, there's anger, immorality, frustration, unforgiveness, there's hatred, violence, greed, wars, rumors of wars. The list just goes on and on. And if you watch the news, you see it all. Do you know, I love these verses that Paul wrote to the Colossians. They were read on my wedding day and they were given to me at my baptism. Courage to put on and wear Christ's kingdom's clothing. Remember those things, patience, kindness, gentleness, compassion. And I love verse 15. Which I think is a key verse for us, especially today. Let the peace of Christ, let it rule in your hearts. You were called to peace. Now, Paul writes that this peace, for us, it's to act like an umpire or referee. The verb he uses to rule, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, that verb to rule, it's a Greek word, brabio, and it actually describes the activity of an umpire or referee in a game. An umpire who decides the contest and the outcome and the way the game is to be played. And so it is. In any conflicts that may come our way, be it in our marriages, or be it at work, within the family, be it our socializing, cultural, especially in church and spiritual matters, among friends, Paul says you're to let the peace of Christ be the referee, the one who well, it sort of blows the whistle when things are getting out of hand. Let peace rule. I'm going to paraphrase what Paul said. I think he said something like, look, when anger or bitterness contend for the mastery of your feelings or actions, we are to let the peace of Christ be the governing factor. The Bible has been in the news a lot this week, and it speaks a lot about love, the love of God, and it speaks about loving each other, loving our enemies, and it speaks a lot about clothing. So there's just one more piece of clothing, an important piece to mention, which connects love and this metaphor, if you like, of clothing. In the Gospel of Matthew, we read these words. They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Do you know, it's been a crazy, crazy week in our world. So many words, so many layers of suffering and sorrow, so much confusion, and so much hatred and anger. And there's no easy answers to these things. It's complicated. It's layered and complex. But you know, what I do know, and what I've experienced in my own heart, is that Jesus knows. He knows what it's like to be beaten. He knows what it's like to be spat on. He knows what it's like to be forgotten and betrayed. He knows what it's like to be dismissed, to be misunderstood, to be completely forgotten. He knows. Jesus knows. And so that's the place that we must go. That's where we must turn to again and again, to the cross of Christ. That place where we find forgiveness, reconciliation between God and us, and reconciliation with one another as we all kneel before the cross together to experience healing, to experience hope, peace, and the ministry of reconciliation. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Let us now spend a few moments in prayer. Please join me as we pray together. Let's take a moment of silence to allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to show us where where we haven't been kind, where we've been impatient, when we haven't been gentle, or maybe we've been angry and it's unjust anger. Let us come before our loving Father, allowing the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit. And if you've never experienced this perfect, healing, forgiving love of the Heavenly Father, maybe you'd like to pray this prayer in the silence of your own heart, or even out loud if you like, a prayer asking the Holy Spirit to come and reign and rule in your heart. Maybe repeat these words, Lord, thank you that you were despised and rejected for me. A man of suffering, familiar with pain. Lord, we hide our faces and hide our hearts from you. Thank you that you took my pain. Thank you that you took my sin. Thank you that you bore my suffering. Thank you that you were pierced for my transgressions and crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brought and brings me peace was on you. By your wounds, Lord, heal me, renew me, and bring your love, your aroha, and your peace to my heart, to my home, and to my family, and to my church, Lord, into our broken world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.